Amen. Amen. As a kid, I was a Cleveland Cavaliers fan. I mean, I grew up listening to their games. I remember on, it was 1100 3WE, 50,000 power, 1,000 power watts of power or something, they say, out of Cleveland, Ohio. And you'd listen to those games, and I'd listen to Joe Tate. He masterfully was the play-by-play man on the radio. And he would, as he tells about the basketball game, you could picture the basketball game going on while he describes it. And he would say, the Cavaliers are going left to right on your radio dial, for those of you that remember when you had a radio dial. And boy, I grew up listening to those Cavaliers and being a Cavaliers fan. And the season, the NBA 2015-2016 season, was really exciting for a Cleveland sports fan, because that was the year, of course, LeBron James was back in Cleveland. And that was the year they finally won the NBA championship. And that's, I guess, great for anybody. But if you are a Cleveland sports fan, you get accustomed to disappointment. And boy, how exciting it was for the Cleveland team to finally win. And the team that year had a theme, a slogan for their team. It was this: it was all in. And they'd have their warm-up jerseys or whatever, and they would have the Cavaliers logo, and it would say all in, and everything was all in. I'm going to tell you about in your life, when it comes to the things of God and where you're going in your spiritual life and what God is doing in your life, there comes a time when you're going to have to decide, am I all in or not? Am I all in? We begin a series this morning entitled Daring to Follow God's Call on the life of Elisha. Elisha is a man that dared to leave his established, comfortable life to follow God's call. He dared to follow the leading prophet of his generation in spite of the hardships it would necessitate. He was a man who dared to become a voice for God and righteousness in a nation that was in moral, religious, and spiritual decline. He was the one who dared to be different when the religion of his day was compromised. He was the one that said, no, we must stand true to the one God. He was the one who dared to ask God for more power. Now, learning from his life is not for those who are satisfied with convenience or compromise or the status quo. Rather, learning from this man's life is for those who will dare to follow God's call. And I believe this, that God is still boldly calling people to follow him. And so I'm asking you to be daring and follow God's call. There was a key point in Elisha's life when he decided to be all in. And there come in your life key points when you decide, am I going to be all in? So take your Bible and turn with me now to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19. 1 Kings, chapter 19. Let me tell you the story to this point. The kingdom of Israel was a divided kingdom, and there was a northern kingdom, Israel. There was a southern kingdom called Judah. The northern kingdom had bad leader after bad leader after bad leader. The king at this time is a wicked king. His name is Ahab. And if that wasn't bad enough, he was a wicked king with a wicked wife. Her name was Jezebel. And Elijah was the voice for God that called out for the judgment of God. He cried out for there to be no more rain. For 3.5 years, the land was in complete drought. It was Elijah that faces off with 400 prophets of Baal, the false worship of the day. He faces off with them and he calls fire down from heaven, and fire consumes the sacrifice. The prophets of Baal are killed. It's a great victory, and he leaves Mount Carmel now and calls for rain, and rain comes. And after this great victory, he goes through a time of spiritual doubt. And God miraculously provides for him in the wilderness. And God sends him from the wilderness in the land of Israel, and he sends him all the way down to Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb is in the southern part of the Sinai Peninsula. It's known by another name you might know. The other name by which it's known is Mount Sinai. Did something happen significant that you can think of at Mount Sinai? It's the place where God met with Moses and the people of Israel, and God gave them his law. So God sends him down there, and in that place, God meets with him. And God takes this prophet who is in a very difficult time in his life, needing revival and renewal, spiritual rest and renewal. And God meets with him, and God reminds him through a still small voice that life isn't out of control. It's still in my control. And then he tells Elijah, he says, in fact, Elijah, let me prove to you, because there are things that are going to change, and I want to let you know that I'm in control and I'm going to change things, and you'll experience the changes that will take place. We read about it in 1 Kings chapter 19, and let me just briefly read it for you. I'll start reading in verse 15 and then verse 16. And the Lord said to Elijah, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be the king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room or in thy place. He said, you know, things are going to change politically. Things are even going to change religiously or prophetically, because I've chosen a man who will be your successor. Your ministry is going to change. You were the lone voice. But now I'm going to bring a man alongside, and your ministry will still be to prophesy for my name, but part of your ministry will to be to train this one to take your place when you pass from this scene. So Elijah travels from where he is in Mount Horeb, and he travels all the way back up to the northern kingdom. He goes from Mount Horeb to Abel-Meholah is about 330 miles. So it's going to take him a couple of weeks to make it up there probably as he's walking. And he travels to Abel-Meholah. And when he gets there, for the first time, we meet Elisha. Now, God was working in the world. Elijah knew what was going on. But Elisha has no idea that his life is about to change. He has no idea that there's a call that is to come to which he will respond, and to which he has the opportunity to respond. He has no idea that the world is going to change and his life is going to change. So let's read about this time when this man comes face to face with the decision, will I be all in when God calls? You've been seated for all. Would you stand with me, please? We're going to read beginning in verse 19, and we'll read then through verse 21. So he, that is Elijah, departed from thence or there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Now, I'm going to tell you today that whenever God brings you to a point where you have to decide, am I going to follow God or not? I'm going to tell you about the kind of people that when God calls and God speaks to you about areas of your life that he wants to transform, I want to tell you that these are the kind of people that are all in people. That's the kind of person you're going to become if you want to be an all in person, and you want to be one who is bold enough and who is courageous and has the faith to be an all in person, to give yourself to follow whatever the call of God is for you. Because everybody who receives the call of God has to reach points in their life where we have to say, God, I am all in. And I hope you're ready to jump into it today, all right? Let's pray and ask God to speak to us. So God, you have spoken to us through the Word, the Bible. You have now, as we open it, we are asking that you would take the Word that you have written, and as it is proclaimed and preached, we pray that your Spirit would wonderfully deal with individual men and women and young people in a wonderful, powerful way. In a very still, small voice, but yet real and powerful. And since you know what you want to do in the lives of the people of this congregation today, we ask for your Spirit to move in us. So we pray it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So let's talk about all in people. All in people first, as you're taking your notes, all in people have clarity in God's call. In fact, there are four different characteristics that God tells us about in this passage. The first is that all in people have clarity in God's call. Elijah walks onto the scene, and imagine this as I've tried to picture it in my mind. He comes into the field and he looks at the field and he sees 12 yoke of oxen, one beside the other, a servant, a man working that yoke of oxen as they're plowing the field, and one right after the other, and they plow a swath of the field. The last one is Elisha. And they come to the end of that row. And if you have 24 oxen, you better have a system, right? And I'm trying to picture in my mind a system they might have to get all of the oxen turned around. And so then together they plow that next row, swath of ground from that fallow field. And I'm picturing Elijah as he's watching this happen. And I'm picturing that they come and they make a turn, and Elisha is the last of the 12th. And Elijah, you see what he does in verse 19? So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, plowing in the field with the 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12th and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. What did he do? He takes his cloak, his mantle, and he casts it on the shoulders of Elisha. Now, what did that mean? Kyle and Delitzsch, Hebrew scholars, say this. They say that the prophet's cloak was a sign of the prophet's vocation, so that throwing it to him was a symbol of the call to the prophetic office. Now, when you interpret the Bible, you interpret the Bible literally, and you look for something else. Beside literal interpretation, you look for what is called authorial intent. What did the author intend to communicate? So imagine this. I say to you, I was driving down the road one day on a warm, clear day. Now, what did I mean? Do you know what I meant? How many of you think you know what I meant? Is anyone thinking? Do you know what I meant? I was driving down the road one day. It was a warm, clear day. I meant I was driving. I was driving on a road. The weather was warm. The sky was clear. So you interpreted what I said, hopefully, literally, and with authorial intent. My intent was to tell you something really deep. I was driving down the road one day. It was a warm, clear day. Now, when you interpret the Bible, you have to understand this is what does God say, and then how do I interpret what God says? And in this passage, you know what God meant because the way Elisha reacts in verse 20. Whenever God Elijah takes the mantle and puts it on him, in verse 20, you'll notice he says to him, middle of the verse, "Then I will follow thee." Did Elisha understand what Elijah meant when he cast his mantle on his shoulders? Yes or no? Yes, he did. He realized that this was something that God was doing, that God was calling him now to follow Elijah as a prophet. Now, understand that this wasn't like the cool thing to do and everybody's celebrating. Wow, he's going to be a prophet. In fact, Elijah was anything but cool in his day. In fact, the reality was that as God's spokesman, he was the solution. But as far as the political establishment and as far as the people thought, he was the problem. He was the one standing up when everybody else said, do whatever you want. He was the one that says, no, you must do what God says. He was the one who was public enemy number one. He was the enemy of the state because he was a friend of God. And for Elisha to follow Elijah, oh, this wasn't something to be done lightly. This was something that was to be done with great thought because his life was going to change. Now he would be the one that would know the hardship, and he would be the one that would know the rejection. Now he would be the one that would have to stand when everybody else was bowing to Baal. But it was very clear to him, and God made it very clear, this is what I have called for you to do. You see, all in people have moments in their lives when God clearly speaks. He doesn't hide himself. He makes it clear. That doesn't mean every time you know all the time what all God is doing. But when God needs you to know, God will be very faithful and clear to you to let you know what you need to know. He'll give you the clarity you need when you need it. And this is how God speaks. Moses fled Egypt. He was 40 years as a shepherd keeping sheep, and he had a burning bush experience. And out of that burning bush, God spoke, and God said, Moses, your life is going to change. I'm calling you to go back to Egypt and lead my people out of bondage. After 40 years. But when he needed to know, God made it clear. David, God anointed him when he was a teenage young man to be the next king of Israel. It would take a number of years before he ever became the king of Israel. But God let him know and made it clear, this is what I have for you. Did you know that Jesus even needed the Father to tell him and show him what he needed to do? Jesus is God the Son. I'm going to turn in my Bible to the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew and listen to what Jesus says about how God revealed to him, God the Father revealed to him, God the Son, what he should do. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he doth, these also doth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. You see, in God's way, God will always tell you the next step that you need to take. He will give you clarity when it needs to be clear, because God is not trying to hide his call from you. God wants to reveal his call to you, and he will. Now, when you receive God's call and he gives you the direction you need, there's something else you need to know about all in people. Yes, all in people have clarity on God's call, but secondly is this, all in people count the cost. You see, daring to follow God's call always has a cost. And if your idea of following God's call isn't costly, you've missed it. Something as great of value as Following the Lord God is always costly. It's wonderful, but it's costly. And so I want you to notice what happens then, again, now in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 20. And he, that is Elisha, left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" Now realize that Elisha was a man who was very successful. Any farmer that had 12 yoke of oxen was somebody that was into big agribusiness, if I could put it that way, in his day. He's a man who had an established business. He was a man who had an established life. He was a man who would have to leave his family behind. He was a man who had to leave the familiar behind. And with all that Elisha did not know about the future, what he did know in the present was that God had spoken to him and it was clear. Now, let me ask you this. How is God speaking to you? How is he calling out to you? He makes his mind and his will and his call clear when it needs to be. When a person comes to Jesus Christ to be his Savior, God the Spirit deals with that person and reminds them and reveals to them their sinful condition and the judgment that is coming. And God the Spirit speaks to that heart and the individual knows. And God the Spirit at the very same time shows and reveals that God came to us and Jesus is the one who died and rose again as a sufficient payment for your sin. And God deals with that individual. And finally, he tells us this in the scripture, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Is God speaking to you in this way? And after you're a follower of Christ, God at different times reveals himself and he speaks to you. Is God speaking about a change in your life that needs to be made? Is God speaking to you about a change in your thinking? Because your thinking is very twisted. And it's not in line with the truth of the Bible. But you've twisted your thinking and you've come to this way of thinking, but God is saying, wait, you're wrong in the way that you're thinking. Your thinking needs to be transformed. However God is speaking, when he makes it clear, you have to be willing to count the cost and you have to say, okay, will I allow God's call to guide me? Will I follow his call in whatever that means for me in my life? Now, every time God does that, there are concerns that we all have because life is going to change. You can't stay where you are and go with God. If you're going to go with God, something's going to change. So Elisha, did you notice in verse 20 the concerns that he had? Because he knew life was going to change. He says in verse 20 to Elijah, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, then I'll follow thee." He had an immediate, "Can I say goodbye to mom and dad?" And I'm picturing this because as Elijah throws the mantle on, evidently he keeps walking because Elisha runs after him and says, "Hey, he was concerned about mom and dad. He wanted to say goodbye." There were immediate concerns. There's long-term concerns. He's part of the family business. That's going to change their business life. His income stream is going to change. Everything's going to change. He has to leave so many things behind to follow the call of God. He had concerns. And you know what that is when you follow the call of God. You have concerns, right? And you think all that through. What are all the concerns that I have? How do you overcome the concerns? They may be legitimate, they may not be legitimate. Many times they are, but they're still concerns. How does one overcome the concerns? The answer is by faith. Because God reveals what he wants us to do and what he wants us to know. And we go by faith. And God gives us the grace to overcome the concerns, for we are living and walking by faith. So when Elisha is considering the cost, Elijah asks Elisha this question. Look in your Bible again in verse 20. He said, "Go back again," and he asked the question, "For what have I done to thee?" That's a really colorful expression. It's a colorful way of saying is this: I can't make the choice for you. It's yours to make. I'm not the one that called you. God is the one that called you. It's really not me. It's a choice you're going to have to make. Are you going to follow God's call? And I'm going to tell you, for people that follow the call of God, there has to come a time in your life when you have to say, "God, I am willing to follow God's call. It is the choice that He puts before you, and nobody can make it for you." How many of you would love to make that choice for some people you're concerned about? How many would love to do that, make that choice for them? Man, you better believe it. But nobody can make a choice for you to go all in and follow God's call. Whether you're a 16-year-old or a 60-year-old, you have to decide, am I going to follow God's call? Am I all in? Well, people that are all in people are people who have clarity on God's call, and God makes it clear. In fact, maybe today God is making something very clear that needs to change in your life. He's calling out to you. People who are all in people are people who count the cost. And even on this day, you are counting the cost. And then I want you to notice, all in people, people who are all in people, accept responsibility for their choices. What have I done to thee, Elisha? What are you going to do because God has spoken to you? You're going to have to decide. It's true today. When you begin to take the responsibility for your life, for the choices in your spiritual life, the realms of possibilities open wide to you. And when you're willing to say, "God, I'll be responsible for," you'd be amazed what God will do in your life. But nobody can choose what you believe, how you act, how you respond to the voice of God, but you. Well, there's a story told about a minor league baseball manager who was so disgusted with his center fielder's poor performance that he ordered him to the dugout, and the manager assumed the position in center field for the player. He took it to himself. Well, the first ball that was hit came to the center field, and it took a bad hop and hit the manager in the mouth. The next one was a high fly ball, and the manager lost the ball in the sun, and it finally landed, but it landed on his forehead. There was a third ball that was hit. It was a hard line drive, and he charged it with outstretched arms, but unfortunately, it flew between his hand and smacked him in his eye. And the manager furiously, the story goes, ran back to the dugout, and he grabbed the center fielder by the uniform, and he shouted, "You idiot, you've got center field so messed up that even I can't do a thing with it." Now, when are you going to start taking responsibility for your choices? All in people take responsibility for their choices. And when you reach those all-in days in your life and you realize that I can and I will and I must take responsibility to honor God, to go all in and I'm going to just trust God and do things His way. My friend, you are daring to follow God's call. This is not for the cowardly. This is for the daring. I say, be one of the daring. Follow His call. Well, all in people have clarity on God's call. All in people count the cost. All in people accept responsibility. And then there's one more quality of all in people, and that is this. All in people make the commitment, whatever it takes to follow God's call. So you'll notice what happens in verse 21. Look at your Bible. And he, this is Elisha, returned back from him, that's Elijah, and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. What does it take to follow God's call? Here's what it takes. It takes a commitment to sacrifice by faith. Oxen were valuable for labor, for a farmer. In the agricultural business, a working animal, an oxen is a castrated bull. The yoke made of wood to guide the oxen as they plow. So whenever Elisha follows God's call, he makes a personal choice. I'm going to take this and I'm going to make a sacrifice. I'm going to cook. I'm going to have a barbecue. We're going to grill out. Everybody, we're going to grill out. God called me to be a prophet. And he says, we're going to grill out and everybody's going to share in the oxen. We're going to have some steak, some ribs. Personal, it's public, because God had called him and he knew that he could not go back, and it was permanent. So that the symbol of taking one set of his oxen and the very instruments of plowing to be burned, and from that to cook a barbecue for everybody, was his way of saying, God has called, there is no going back. Now, as long as in your life you're always preparing and always allowing ways for you to go back, I'll go so far, but I'm going to give myself room to go back. You're never going to be all in. But when God calls, it's the sacrifice that says, I am all in. There is no turning back. So it's a sacrifice of faith. The commitment is a sacrifice that requires steps of faith. And you'll notice how the verse ends. Then he arose and went after Elijah. He was willing to sacrifice, but now he had to take those next steps. The next steps. So he made the decision, yes, I'm going to follow God's call. Had the barbecue. Everybody's celebrating. Everybody's there with it. But he says, now it's time for me to go from here and take those next steps. See, in your life, there are moments in time when you make decisions. But that decision doesn't change everything in your life. It's the decisions you make after you make the decision that makes the change in your life. And I believe in responding when God speaks at a public invitation. But responding when God speaks at a public invitation is going to change your life. What changes your life is from that moment. Now, what are the decisions I'm making to follow up? So Elijah says, I'm all in. I'm willing to make the sacrifice. Now I'm willing to take the follow-up steps to continue following God's call for my life. And I'm all in, every step. And beside being a life that now is a life of sacrifice, beside being a life that takes follow-through steps, this life now that God called him to is a life of service, because the Bible tells us, look at verse 20, that he went after Elijah and ministered unto him. For the next 10 years of his life, he was the prophet Elijah's servant. He was his understudy. He was a man that had his own business. He was a man who was in big business. But God had called him to be the servant of Elijah. Eventually, he became the leading prophet of his generation. But for 10 years, he was the servant of Elijah. And for people that are all in, it's not about what is shown and what is public and what is showy. Oh my, no. All in people know that it's really about sacrificial service. Giving oneself to another. Elijah was a man who had really an extraordinary life. But Elisha was a man that had an extraordinary life. But the gateway to that, the life that God had for him and the life that made a difference in his generation and even beyond his generation came when he was willing to commit, to follow God's call to be all in. And so you'll have to be available, whatever the call, whatever the cost, whatever the choice, whatever the commitment. So now, you are at a decision point. Will you dare to follow God's call? Then you have to decide, will I be all in to follow God's call? Am I going all in? And that's a decision that God has placed before you this morning. Would you stand with me, please? Our heads will be bowed and we're seeking the Lord. So, Lord, you are a God that seeks us. And now I am, on behalf of the people of this congregation, seeking you all in. Now that will mean for each individual, it is something that is very personalized for where that young person is, where that man is, where that woman is in her life. But it is for each of us the question that you are dealing with us about, are we all in? For those that need to come to Christ, will they bring them to him today, Lord God? So they know his power to save from sin and the wrath to come. Those who are currently disciples of the Lord Jesus, but you are bringing them to a point where they're deciding all in, and there has to be a point of transformation and change, and you're dealing with their lives. Bring them to an all-in point, Lord.